You know when he wants to meet your needs or he wants to love on you? His favorite way to love on you is to help you to get what you need. You know, if someone needs finances, when me and my wife were standing for our financial miracle, you could pat me on the back and tell me how good of a preacher I was, and you could tell me how handsome I was or how nice I was, but if you slipped me $5 in that Holy Ghost handshake, I would have kissed you right on the mouth. Because there's something about when your need gets met that you say, oh, thank you. And some of you need a healing in your body. Some of you need a deliverance from emotional damage. Some of you need healing in your marriage and your children saved. That I can give you $1 million, but you trade that $1 million to see your son born again. So you know how God expresses his love to you? It's not just ooey-gooey feelings and oh, it's more than that. You're a child of God. The way we walk in his love is not just, he loves me. It's in power to change circumstances. Receiving his love is more than, so much more than just a spiritual hug or a feeling of security. It is the power to change the things in your life, to bring answers, to bring the promises in the scripture to life in front of you. You're not powerless because you're with him. It's funny how he sets the table in the midst of our enemies. It's like, can't we just do it in a nice field with, you know, with flowers and Bambi running around and sunshine? Why does it have to be in the midst of our enemies? Well, those enemies are there to tell you you're not good enough, that you're going to fail. And you have to walk through your enemies to get to this table, this banquet table. And all that banquet table is all your needs. Well, you're not strong enough to defeat your enemies. At least that they'll tell you that. But what you don't know, fear, will tell you you're not worthy. You're not good enough. You haven't done enough. You're not qualified enough. You haven't prayed enough. You haven't fasted enough. You haven't overcome enough. You don't know enough of the scripture to dare to receive those things. But if you were to walk towards that table, you discover that those enemies that are telling you you're not ready yet, they're afraid of him. They tell you they're going to beat you up, but they're looking at him because they know that if they take an inch towards you, he's going to come beat them up. But fear will stop you. Unworthiness is anchored in fear that says, if I go, he'll reject. If I ask, I won't receive. We love testimonies from other people, and we think one day. That's why this corporate meeting is so important. I hope you feel like family. You're not guests to us. You are us. That's why this corporate meeting is so important, because he can bring in so much more for us. As we're standing, I can go higher because you're here beside me. I can go further because someone's been there before. I can go further now into him. So you may have tried to receive. You may have believed for things and have fallen flat. This week, you're not leaving the same. His love is more than a kiss on the cheek. It's the power to change circumstances. It's the power you have because you are in his love. I thought when I was saved, I got this, I guess I'd call it a spiritual backpack, you know. So I thought I got saved, and now I got a spiritual backpack. It's got all the things I need, like, what's that guy? Go-Go Gadget guy. What's his name? It's Inspector Gadget. You know, like, say, well, what are you doing? I'm just listening in the Spirit. What does that mean? Like, I thought I had Go-Go Gadget ears, you know, like, I'm listening to the Spirit, I pull it out, and I'm listening to the Spirit now, you know. You hear some preachers say, well, get your inspectors on. You know, I don't know if you've heard that. Get your inspectors. You're expecting something from God. Well, you know, okay. I'm expecting something to change, you know. The Old Testament saints, they did not have a new nature. They had a nature of death. It wasn't dead. It produced death. Now, they received things from God as servants, as slaves. They've received things from God through their natural man because that's all they had. The glory had to come down. He had to speak to them through prophets. And in much of the church, this last generation is still operating as Old Testament saints, even though they're born again. 1 Corinthians 12 is how the Old Testament operated. 1 Corinthians 13 is how the New Testament is supposed to operate. When you were born again, you didn't get a spiritual backpack with tools and equipment. You received Him in you. My mom, I look just like her. She says I look a lot like my dad. He passed away when I was 4, but says I look like him. But someone came out to my mom one time when I was a kid and said, boy, or ma'am, lady, as long as this boy is alive, you'll never be dead. Because she said, I see him in you, or you in him. Well, you know, the scripture says that you're in him. That's not just positional. It's like a little woman, little mama, sitting there holding her baby, saying, I see you in me, and I see me in you. He's in you. You're born of him. When a person is brought into this earth, it's always from the family of Adam. Can you say amen? Now, you have the nature that Adam gave to the earth, right? The nature of darkness, the nature of... I call it nature of darkness mainly because it makes more sense. It's not dead. That nature isn't dead. It produces death. Okay? So every person born on this earth is a spiritual being. They live forever. Everyone born on this earth is a spiritual being with a natural covering called flesh or a body. You say amen. So you are born a spirit. You have a body and you have a soul. You are a spiritual being clothed in a body, and you have a soul. Now, this is for everyone. Every person born. Now, the nature is called many things in Scripture. It's called the Spirit. It's called the image of Christ. It's called, well, the new nature. The old nature is called the old man. It's called flesh in some cases. This nature of darkness that taught you to be a sinner. How many know what I'm talking about? See, Mark said it right. See, we're moving into more understanding as a body. Meat doesn't mean more technical. I'm discovering that meat means simpler. The deeper I go into God, the more it makes sense. It's like, oh, got too complicated with my formulas and my, you know, drat, whatever you call them, you know. Let me tell you how to know God. Arrow over here, A plus, I find out how simple it is. So I, like everyone on this earth, was born a spiritual creature clothed in a body, and I have a soul. See, you have a hand, but it's not you. It's of you. You have a mind, but it's not you. It's of you. You have a nature. It's not you. It's of you. You're born with a nature of darkness. So when you are born again, it's the nature that was changed. That's what was pulled out of you, that nature of darkness, the nature of Adam. It produced darkness. It produced death. And it was replaced with what? Nature of light or life. It's called those things. Light, life. It's called image of Christ. It's called spirit. But spirit's kind of confusing because I have a new spirit. When we say I'm spiritual, I listen to the Spirit, I'm in the Spirit, what does that mean? The spiritual is as normal as the natural world. It's practical. Sometimes we think when I'm in the Spirit, I have to walk around a little bit. And that's okay if you're drunk in the Spirit, but, you know. Every person has a spirit. An inward man is a better way for me to describe that. I have an inward man that is in the spiritual world, or I am the inward man, and I am clothed with an outward body. Okay? And I have a nature. That nature can be darkness or light, depending on if you're born again or not. When you stand before God in the pearly gates, as they say, He's going to ask you one thing. Let me see your nature. Because heaven is an exclusive club. Only family allowed. And it's that nature that makes you family. So we've learned from the teaching that of Pastor Dave and that when you die, you know, one day, or when your body falls off of you, because once you're born again, you really never die. I'll be 104. If I want to be a real faith man, 120. And I'll be preaching one day. And I'll be pointing my finger, because when you're older, you can preach meaner. And I'll be telling people mean stuff. Bunch of lazy Christians. And I'll be pointing my finger somewhere, preaching to somebody, and my crowd will look at me and go, and I'll look at them and wonder, why did they just go, and I'll turn around, and there my body will be on the ground. But I'll still be standing there. Because I have an inward body. Say amen if you're still with me. Can't preach this in a Baptist church. I have an inward body and an outward body. Now, if you were to open up my skull, don't make fun of me, there would be a brain in that body. But yet here I am, my inward man, and there's a spiritual brain in there. What? See, we were created, or Adam, the original man, was created to operate in both worlds at one time. And I'm just teaching what Pastor Dave taught. So he can't get mad at me. You can get mad at him if you want. Cell for cell, when you're born, your spiritual is as your spiritual being is who you are, and it is as natural, as normal, as practical as your fleshly body. We talk about the spirit realm like it's ghostly. It's wow, I was in the spirit. cell for cell as a baby, your body, bodies, your natural body, your fleshly body, and your inward spiritual body, or your inward man and your outward man were developing at the same pace. I happen to believe my spiritual body is a little bit thinner and maybe a little bit buffer and now a little bit younger than this outward body. But the real you, who's the real you? Well, before you're saved, it's all you. You are who you are. Body, soul, and spirit. It's who you are. And you have a nature. See, the nature, I want to try to term this the right way, because when we say spirit, we automatically think spirit man. But your spirit man has a nature. You have an inner man, and the inner man has a nature. Do you ever wonder how psychics can listen into the spirit realm? Do you ever wonder how witches and all those things? Because they have a spirit being. They are a spirit being with clothed with flesh just like you are. But the only difference is their nature is dark and your nature is now light. So when I was born again, now the way I see myself is I have this inward body and an outward body. Let me just pull myself apart if I can, okay? No, let's watch. This is really cool. Just tear myself apart. Now, here I am. This is my flesh, okay? It's not me. It's my flesh. It's my outward body. And over here is me. If you could see the real me, you'd say, man, that is, he's right. He's buff. He's young. Thin. So here's me, the real me, the inward man. And my flesh is right there. Now before I'm saved, my inward man, now the flesh is like a, it doesn't have a nature. Okay? The flesh is like, you know when you cut a chicken's head off, and it flops around like it's alive, but it's really, that's your flesh. It's still trying to live. Now, before you're saved, you're all one. You're just one. That's it. But when you got born again, he had to save something. And what he saved was your spirit inward man and not your flesh. Now, your flesh isn't just this body. Okay? Because this body's dumb. If I tell it to do it, lift your hands up. It doesn't argue. Lift your hands up and worship God. Oh, look, it did it. My flesh is it. Is no more than this body. Your flesh is emotions. It's thoughts. It has its will that tries to tell you who you are. Do you know where when you're hurt and someone hurts you and you have that wound in you? You know where that wound is? It's in your flesh. We have a little dog, and you know that dog? We took him to the vet. His name's Yoshi. Harrison named him after a cartoon. And Yoshi, I took him to the vet to get his groomed and his nails clipped. And he does not like the vet. He does not like. He's feisty. Well, every time we go, they're like, I don't know if you can bring him back because he fights. And, well, you know, I thought the vet beat him up because all day he was down and depressed and all day, we thought, man, did they hurt him? Did they give him a shot? And I was afraid he wasn't going to wake. Next morning, he wouldn't wake up. But the next morning, he was all happy and puppy-like, and he had an emotional day. Depressed. How many have dogs that have moods? Now, here's a little dog that technically does not have a spirit. Now, I'm not telling you they're not in heaven. I'm just saying he doesn't have a spirit. It's all flesh, but yet it shows me the emotions. And my dogs, I've seen jealousy. I've seen envy. I've seen sneakiness. You ever see them sneak something? Do you ever see your dog when you come home and they're so excited to see you, but they're guilty about something? I've seen all these emotions in this dog that doesn't have a spirit. But where are these emotions coming from? It's coming from its flesh creature. Your body is chemically based. It's, you know, when you cry, it's because your body's trying to push out chemicals. When you know, depression, I saw an article that 1 billion people are depressed around the world today, and they give them pills, and that chemical pill shuts off the chemicals that feed that depression. They walk around kind of numb. This body is chemical. It has emotions. It's like an animal. I call it the monkey on my back, this flesh. Before you're saved, you have a spirit body or an inner man. You have a fleshly man, a body of natural chemicals. You have a physical face and a spiritual face. See, you have a natural brain and you have a spiritual brain. You have natural ears and you have spiritual ears. Am I doing okay? You're still with me? So when someone is depressed, you know, I used to have days I'd wake up and I just feel like I'm never going to make it. I failed too many times. And I just couldn't get enough energy to do anything. But then a week later I'd wake up and I'm going to change the world, you know. See, where does that depression lie? It's in this physical man. When you were born again, how many know you were delivered from some things, but not everything? I wonder about that. Why, oh God, why this, why that? Well, because there's good old-fashioned sin. When I was probably 13 and going to babysit for my sister and her boyfriend as they were leaving, the boyfriend would always tell me where the magazines were. You know, but don't go there, my sister would say. But the boyfriend said, yeah, they're over there under the bathroom sink. You know, there's good old-fashioned fleshly sin that you just do because you're part of the world. The world goes to the bar, the world drinks, the world does these things, the world acts a certain way. But when you get saved, you drop the worldly things. They just fall off. But yet the things that are stuck, the things you have to overcome are things that your soul, your chemically based mind or brain feeds off of. The example I like to use is I love the smell of cigarettes. I don't smoke, but I grew up in a family of cigarettes. All my good memories from my past are cloudy. My mom says when she went to give birth to me, they put them in a room with like 5 ladies or 6 ladies, and they'd all sit there until it was time, and then they'd take them to the private room. And all the women back then would sit there and be smoking, ready to give birth, smoking away, because it was okay back then. She said, Alan, I was the best. I kept everything spotless, but while I was feeding you, I'd be smoking my cigarette right over top of you. So if I'm walking through a crowd and there's smoke and I slow down and brings back all my memories of my past. See, these are things that feed my natural chemically based mind. See, there's attachment to that sin. That sin feeds something to my body or my flesh. And that's why it has to be overcome. It's not just good old-fashioned sin. It's I'm feeding something. You know, a drug addict isn't a drug addict for the drug. It's what the drug does for them. Yeah. See? So that's my natural. But my inward man is the one who got saved. Now, before I'm saved, I have a mind of the spirit, a spiritual brain, and a natural brain. Are you still with me? Yeah. The natural brain was as dark as my chemically based brain. It was dark because my nature was dark. So the way I look at it is, here I am. I have an inward body with a spiritual brain, a brain of the spirit that lives in the spirit, the spiritual hands and feet, spiritual six pack. And that's for the sake of the tape. I'm pointing to my stomach, not to cans of alcohol. It's a six pack. My abs. But the core, the very center of Alan Taylor, see, was dark. It produced death. Can you say amen? Okay. So when I was born again and I humbled myself and faced death, because Scripture says that you died the day you were born again. When I faced that death, God reached into Alan Taylor and pulled out Alan Taylor, the core, the nature of darkness, and pulled it out and put him to death. Alan Taylor actually died the day I was born again. God saved me out of Alan Taylor. Alan Taylor's dead. I'm a new creature. I had a new existence. When I get to heaven, my Father is going to name me because He birthed me. Alan Taylor died the day I was born again. So when I was accepted Jesus into my heart, it was the nature that He put into. He pulled out Alan Taylor and put him to death, because there's no hope for Alan Taylor. There's no hope for the human race. He couldn't fix the human race. He had to build a whole new race so we can be born out of the first one and into the next one. The children of God. So He took this in my spirit man, in my inward man, He pulled out this nature and put in a new nature of life. That nature of life longs for holiness. It longs for purity. See, it is love. But when I look over, I still have that ugly flesh clothing me. I'm still stuck with this flesh. My natural brain, chemically based brain, is still cell for cell attached to my inward man's brain. But what part of me got saved was my inward man, not my outward man. And then the fight begins. Why do I long for these things? I asked a bunch of preachers one time after preaching the Born Again Trail. I said, now, why do Christians like to sin? And they said, it's the human nature. I said, you didn't hear what I preached. Because your human nature was pulled out of you, and you have a nature of God now. You're no longer human. You're a child of God. You belong to a new family. So why do we desire to sin? Because our flesh, the mind, the brain of our flesh, the chemically soul of our flesh. Amen. Now they're attached. You're still attached. Longs for things. To feel safe or secure. See, your flesh knows how God is, because in the Old Testament it operated with God. But your flesh doesn't have no idea how to be accepted by a father. Your flesh will tell you. You ever have that place where you feel God tell you, I want you to stand in faith for something? Ever have that? And you hear a voice that says, oh no, it's not going to work. You're going to fail. We haven't done enough. I've heard so many messages about you have to plant a seed of finances to get a harvest of finances. Because your flesh understands that. sow a seed, get a harvest. Earn. Of course. That's how it works. Because your flesh understands God of the Old Testament. But your flesh does not understand a father. Because God is not the father of your flesh. He's the father of your inward man. Are you still with me? So when we say, I hear in the Spirit, it's not that you have a spiritual backpack that I'm listening, feeling in the Spirit. It's that you're trying to shut down the voice of this natural brain so you can listen to what He's speaking to you in your spiritual brain. See, all of a sudden you have this nature that's oozing love and holiness. I used to judge people. In the wrong way. Oh, that guy, he's a jerk. That girl, she's a hussy. And when I realized that when you're born again, your nature produces love. See, it's natural. That means it's natural for you to get excited about holiness. It's natural for you to love. See, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy. This is fruit of your new nature. See, the better word for that, spirit versus flesh, is new nature versus flesh. That fruit is love, joy, peace. That's what it was. So when someone's walking around and they're mean, you sit in my seat. I've been sitting in my seat. I put my Bible in that seat and you moved that seat. I think Pastor Dave said that one story I love. Two elders fighting or two deacons. Well, you just be quiet in Jesus' name. Well, I command you to be quiet in Jesus of Nazareth. I can see him fight like that, You have this new nature. It's not you. You have a new nature. You were saved out of the old man, and you have a new nature who is now teaching you who you are. Let's go over to Romans chapter 13. Now, I want you to understand this. I get up every day and I'm at peace with God. Not because I'm perfect. You can ask my wife. But because the real me is perfect. The real me is righteous. I can't be more righteous today than I... Tomorrow I won't be more righteous. Doesn't matter if I'm better behaved, I cause less trouble, I give more money, do more for God. I am righteous because I am now His son. I am made from Him. He sees Himself in me. When He looks at me, He says, I see you in me. Do you ever see that with your kid? I look at my daughter, and we always have this argument because Harrison, my son, looks just like my wife. People say, I don't even see you in him at all. But my daughter, God bless her, I was hoping she looked more like her mom. Don't tell her, but she's the prettiest thing in the world. But you can see me in her. I'm going to blame that on her mom. You need stronger DNA, mom. But yeah, when you look at our kids' pictures, I look just like my son at his age. And my wife looks just like my daughter at her age. It's amazing. You can see yourself in your kids. Do you understand when He looks at you, He doesn't see the flesh? Because He's not the father of your flesh. He sees Himself in you because you are His child. I'm going to pray for you, brother. I know you got sickness. And what most believers do, they say, they look at their flesh and they hear this voice, you didn't pray enough today. You remember you got angry, you said that word, you did these things, and you're like, oh Jesus, I'm not good enough to pray for this guy. But you are, so Jesus, meet sick person. Jesus, please heal this sick person. That's what we think we pray in Jesus' name. We're supposed to say, sick person, meet Jesus. Jesus, sick person, I'm just here to introduce you to. Heal him. But no, when he says in Jesus' name, it means everything Jesus gave to you. When you say in Jesus' name, you're saying, I'm a child of God. I have the nature of Christ in me. No, it's not in my name, but it's not the name like the name is magical. It's not the name of Jesus isn't Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. No, don't get mad at me. But we put too much credit on the name of Jesus like he means the name. Like, I'm going to spell J. You know, I remember when I was first learning to cast out devils, they say, well, sing about the blood. The devils hate the blood. So we sing blood songs, you know. Oh, the blood of Jesus. And then we say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Like we're throwing that name at that devil, you know. He hates the name of Jesus, Jesus. No, he's not afraid of the name of Jesus. He's afraid of what Jesus gave you. He's afraid of the Christ in you. See, that's what he's afraid of, because you're the authority. So when we pray in the name of Jesus, here's what you're saying. When I stand before the sick person, I say, in Jesus' name, what am I doing? I hear this voice say, oh, you're not good enough. You're not Pastor Dave. Now, Gary, get Gary. Gary, I got a sick person here. Come pray for him. No. It's Christ in me. The nature that God gave me. I don't pray, oh God, forgive me for all the things I didn't do, but I hope it works. When God looks at you, he sees your inward man. So before you're born again, you are a spirit being. You have a body. And you have a soul. But after you're born again, you now are an inward being. You have a natural emotional makeup. Because what is love? It's an emotion. Joy? It's an emotion. Your inward man now has the capacity, because of your spiritual brain is now brought to life. Because of your new nature, you can now hear God, understand God, know God. He doesn't keep secrets from you. He'll tell you the deep things about himself. For the rest of eternity, you will know something new about God every day, and you won't forget it. The new nature is the generator that allows us to know God. We still had a spiritual mind before, but it was dark. But now you're also got this flesh that tries to tell you who you are. See, sometimes we call spiritual healing the wrong thing. We hear someone say, well, when I was a child, I was hurt. Now, I understand there's big hurts that happens. And so I need inner healing. And we think that I can't move forward until I'm fixed. Now that's okay if you're raised okay. But some weren't raised okay, and they got a lot of fixing to do. You're like 90 years old, still waiting to get fixed. One day God could use me. No, we don't need healing. We need deliverance. The real me, has never been hurt. It's impossible to hurt love. I've never been betrayed. It's impossible to betray love. How can you hurt me when I love you more than you can hurt me? So every wound, every insecurity that you have, every struggle you have is based on the natural, chemically based person that is stuck to you. And that's why the scripture says, I'm groaning until I get rid of this flesh. I can't wait till the day I wake up and I'm not fighting with him. When you feel unworthy, where does that voice come from? Not from you. It comes from your flesh. Alan Taylor keeps trying to tell me I'm not good enough. Because he understands God in the Old Testament. We have whole ministries based on God in the Old Testament. Waiting for heaven to come down. God, you don't need heaven to come down. Heaven's here. It's inside of you. This flesh man wants to teach you. He understands religion, but he does not understand family. You've been born again. Your nature is life. And you got this chicken with his head cut off, strapped to you, trying to tell you, oh, you need healing. No, no. I wasn't the one wounded when I was a child. My flesh was. So I don't need to heal it. I need to mortify it. No, don't tell me who I am. Shut up, flesh. You're dead. Play dead. Lay down. Lay down. God, I want to be blessed, but I just don't feel like I'm... Shut up, flesh. We don't earn our blessings. We walk in our blessings. That's why when we pray in the Holy Ghost is teaching us through our new nature. Your new nature is whole. It doesn't need to grow. You need to grow to it. So you need to more to renew this mind of your brain and mortify this natural man. See, I am righteous because of who I've been born of. Now, holiness, I'm not holy. Holiness is my duty. Holiness is how much of my flesh I mortify. See, I mortify the things that justify my excuses I use as why I'm not walking in power or why I'm not walking in blessings or why it's okay for me to struggle. You just don't know what I've been through. I was in this church and they were controlling. And so now I just don't want to take any advice from any man of God. Just the Holy Ghost only teaches me. No. You need to mortify those things. You don't need a healing. What we call healing in your heart is actually a mortification, a snipping of that voice that tells you you're broken. The real you, that light shines. What's that song? I love to sing that song now lately. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine. Come on, you've been to school. I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. This side. Hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine. This side. Hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine. Everybody, let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. You got a light in you that you should be walking around not hiding it. Shining it, making the devil nervous. But I have, you know what fasting does? The same voice that tells you that you're unworthy is the same voice that tells you that you're hungry. It's the flesh. It comes from the same place. So when you say, flesh, I'm not feeding you today. After breakfast, your flesh goes, okay, no problem. See, I can do this. I don't know what everyone talks about. It's a piece of cake. It's fast and stuff. It always feels so good when you plan your fast. You're like, yes, this is going to be great. And then around noon-ish, you hear this little voice that says, feed me. And you say, no, I, who's I? I have decided I am not going to feed you. And your flesh man says, but I'm hungry. I need substance to look this good. And you say, no. And he says, yes. No, yes, no, yes, no, yes. And then he says, okay, do you know that there is a special 2-for-1 at your favorite barbecue place? And it's only on for today. Let's go there today and tomorrow we'll fast. And I won't bother you tomorrow. You act like you know what I'm talking about. Because you don't need food. You need spiritual food. All you need to do, and I'm talking to you, just pretend you're looking at my inward man right now. All you need to do is give this flesh enough food to survive long enough for you to do what you're supposed to do. Now, organic, I said this the other day, organic in tofu for some of my tofu friends is not more spiritual than barbecue. Hold your finger in Romans. Let's go to Galatians real quick. Don't ever be intimidated by your flesh. Your flesh is a weakling. It's a liar. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. The Apostle Paul, he writes, I have been crucified. He's talking about Saul. The guy I was born has died, been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I, Saul, who lives, but Christ, talking about your new nature, lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, that I can walk around this earth, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul says, it's no longer I who live. I, Alan Taylor, died. And I'm still here, but Alan Taylor died. It's been hard for me to comprehend that, but that's why I struggle with my, I don't want to say identity, but that's why I struggle with what I can receive from God. Because I keep fighting this flesh who says, no, 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 I'm still here. I'm still here. Your flesh wants the right. Your flesh will try to get you to bring him into the presence of God. There's so much ministry out there that's built on keeping your flesh, emotional man, happy. But it has nothing to do with faith. He's not the father of your flesh. He's the father of your inward man. See, now I have an inward man, a man of the Spirit. I have a new nature, and I'm in an alien body. This body is not mine. One day it will be switched. But until that day, I have to make it play dead and make it obey me. It won't fight me one day, but today it does. Your insecurities, your fears, your struggles, jealousies, envies, where does that come from? This flesh man. See. So when you stand before God in worship, he doesn't look at your flesh. You can have a miserable day and still walk into his presence boldly. See, without an offering. Your flesh understands offering. I'm giving you an offering so you'll accept me. Your flesh understands that, but your family does not. Family. What a great statement. If it's not family, it's not God. Romans chapter 13. I have these thoughts that come that need to be mortified. I have unmortified parts of me that I have to deal with, but I am becoming more mortified every day. Romans 13, verse 11. And do this, knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Where is this work of darkness? It's from your flesh. The thoughts, the ideas, the insecurity, the weaknesses, the fears all come from your flesh. Your inward man, the real you, knows the voice of his Father. But your flesh knows the voice of a God of the Old Testament. When we saw my family, we took Harrison and Ava. I know I talk a lot about Harrison. Ava is so much my daughter, but Harrison's so much more entertaining. I can tell you stories after stories. But we went to visit my family, my parents, Harrison's granddad, and we were visiting. Someone came up to my dad, Harrison's granddad, and said, "Hey, Ken, how are you doing?" And my dad said hi and talked to him. And Harrison came and tugged my shirt and said, "Daddy, Daddy." I said, "What is it, son?" "Daddy, what?" "Does Grandpa have a name?" And I said, "Well, yeah, his friends call him Ken." "Oh, okay. And then a couple hours later, he came up to me and said, "Daddy, Daddy." And you can tell his little brain been working. He said, I said, "What is it, son?" He said, "Do you have a name?" I said, "Yeah, it's Daddy." I said, "Son, before you were born, my name was Alan. And that's all that I was. But the day you were born, I became Daddy. And I get to be Daddy the rest of my life because you were born." See, in the Old Testament, he was God. And that's how we knew him as God. God over fleshly creatures, trying to get to a place where a Savior can be born in those fleshly creatures. Flesh creature, stop it. My dog is a flesh creature. She wants to be my daughter. But she can't. As much as you love your creatures, those little things, they're never going to be your children. Because their nature is different than yours. The Old Testament is creatures of flesh who wanted God to be their father, but it was impossible. They loved him, he loved them, but it was impossible for him to be their father because their nature was different than his. But when you were born into his family, you're now his child because your nature is the same as his. You can know him, understand him, walk with him, talk with him. Not when you're free, not when you get to heaven, right now, because you are his child. He sees himself in you. He's not just God now because you've been born into his family. He's now your father. Verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Now, stop right there. The armor of light. Where have I heard armor before? But before we go there, let's look at verse 13. Let us walk properly as in the day. Not in revelry or in drunkenness or in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. You have to, where do I put this on? You take it from your nature and you put it on and you take the flesh off. You know, people spend years waiting to get healed of stuff they're supposed to just put to death. You can always tell when people are dying because they walk around this, you can smell from their mouth. They talk and they're mean and they're nasty and you want to say, look, you're just dying. Just die already. Quit trying to keep that dream alive. Quit trying to keep this, put it to death. There's no striving in God. The moment you quit striving to keep things alive, life is good. Let's go to Ephesians. Chapter 6. Starting in verse 10. We can go lots of places. You know, Ephesians 5. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it to you. Verse 8. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's your new nature. For the fruit of the Spirit, your new nature, is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done to them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Now, verse 10 of chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor. Where does this armor come from? It's armor of God, but it's armor of light. It doesn't mean from heaven. You know the old Word of Faith teaching we had? Get up in the morning, I put on the helmet of salvation. I have the Word of Faith, the sword of the Spirit. My loins are girded with the belt of truth. Those are good confessions. But they don't put on the armor. They may convict you to put on the armor. But they don't put on the armor. What is the armor? The armor of light, it's called the armor of God. I'll tell you exactly what it is. I'll tell you tomorrow. Let's read first, then I'll tell you. Put on the armor of God. I'm amazed how the Apostle Paul had to come up. Here he was with a whole stack of Old Testament scripture. Born again. Now he's seeing these things. The Holy Ghost is teaching him these things of this new man inside, the newborn, and having to describe it so we could understand what on earth is going on. He had to describe this new nature. The church is not to be based on the Old Testament. It's the shadow. I'm hiding under the shadow. It's based on this revelations of the Apostle Paul. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How do we stand against the wiles of the devil? Someone tell me. We put on the armor. Do we rebuke the devil? I used to try that. Devil, go in Jesus' name. He'd run. There'd be a knock on the door. I'd open up. There he is again. You go and don't come back in Jesus' name. You're back. You go to hell and don't come back in Jesus' name. I chain you in hell. He would keep coming back until he'd find me tired or lonely or physically or emotionally drained. And I would give in because there was something in me that wanted what he was offering me. Now what is real freedom? Power over the devil? That's okay. I can tell you what real freedom is. When you take the thing in you that wants what he has to offer and you put it to death. Then he can come knock on your door and you go, hello. I'm here to offer you that. Yeah, not interested. That's power. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles. We know what this means, the military tactics of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rules of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And, having done all to stand, stand therefore. How many know that story? Now I'm looking for a prop here. I need Mark up here because I don't need you up here. I just Mark always has the best props, but I don't have a prop. This will work. Pastor Bronco, you come stand up for me there. And then I need a young man. Let me see. Sherry, why don't you come? So this is the image that I have had. Let's say Bronk is the devil. And this is you. Come stand up here, so you're just a little taller. Up on one step. This is, we'll call it a beating stick. Now, having done all the stand against the wiles of the devil, go ahead and whack him a couple times. Really good. Now, that's supposed to hurt, so pretend you're getting whacked. Go ahead and whack him. Now, good little prayer center faith people. As you follow this message, the devil will come to stop you. And this is what he's going to do to you. Now, as he's beating you, and you've done all you can to stand, just stand and take it. Because you are superhuman punching bags. And for your whole life, you can stand therefore. After you've done all you can, there's nothing left, don't worry. You can keep taking your beating. Stand there for me. Go ahead and give him a couple more shots. He's a good faith prayer center young man. But if you look in that verse, verse 13 ends with a period. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, period. So how do we put on the armor of God or the armor of light? It's really simple. It's called holiness. Now, you can receive all the love of God you want. But you cannot walk in love if you're not walking in holiness. You cannot walk in love and hate your brother. You can walk in the gifts, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You can walk in the gifts and in the power and have a ministry and have finances and have all those things and beat your brother and hate your brother and lie and cheat. But you cannot walk in 1 Corinthians 13, the love of God out of you where you fulfill your calling from the nature instead of the gifting, and hate, and not be holy. Righteousness is God's gift to you, but our gift to Him is holiness. So here's what it says. Take on the armor of light, talking about your new nature. Let that new nature teach you who you are. I used to judge people, say, oh, you're just mean. You're just a mean old snake. But when you're born again, you're not. The real you longs for holiness and love and joy. Your flesh man may be mean, but you're supposed to put him to death. So let me read this properly. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. In other words, quit lying. Conquer it. Put it to death. Not the lying, what the lying does for you. How do I do that? You mortify the thing that says, I need to lie to be accepted. Conquer laziness. I need someone to pay my bills because I can't. I don't want to be responsible enough. Yeah. conquer those things that push you into lust. And these are just the simple ones. We can go into all the millions of things, the hidden things of the flesh. I mortify them by taking this light of the new nature, and I become this creature. I walk in it. I overcome. Holiness is when I take who I am and make my flesh submit to it. See? That's why we pray in tongues. That's why we fast. That's why we confess and meditate the Word. That's why we worship God. When you worship God, He just ignores your flesh and looks at your spirit, man. You may feel like you're a mess when you come in here. Don't look at your mess. Look at who you are. Because that's who He's looking at. So how do we put on the armor of God? The armor of God is not to take it on the chin every time. Poof, 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 poof. Oh, good. Hold on. Poof, poof. The armor of God is how you defeat the enemy. Now look at this. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, period. Stand therefore. In other words, now let me tell you how you stand. Now that you've been beaten, let me tell you how you stand against the enemy and the wiles of the devil. So let's take verse 13 and go ahead and just keep beating him, Pastor Bronk. Take it. So let me, because the only power the devil has over you is how much flesh you let rule you. Pastor Dave says he can't push you off a cliff, but he can get you to jump. So how do I put on the armor of God? It's called holiness. I overcome, I conquer, I put to death my flesh. I make it submit to death until it falls off of me and I receive my new body. Look at this. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Quit lying. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. These are words that you find in the fruit of the Spirit. And above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation. What's the helmet cover? Your mind. You've been born again. You're no longer subject to your natural brain to tell you who you are. Salvation gave you a helmet to say, shut up, thoughts. You chemically based thoughts of a carnal meathead brain, shut up. I have the helmet of salvation. I have taken and renewed my spiritual mind to mortify my natural thinking. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer, supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, here he is, full of flesh. Little born again, young person, a guy praying in tongues, but he's got issues. We could all stand here. This could be you. It can be me. These thoughts of unworthiness, thoughts of trying to earn, the natural brain, the natural man that you is on you will constantly try to get you to earn from God relationship. Because it does not understand family. But God's the Father of your spirit. And when you take the time and invest into praying in tongues, invest into worship, and into meditating the Word and confessing the Word, and invest into all these tools of fasting, what happens is the light begins to overtake the darkness. And soon you are telling your flesh, no, that's not me. So he beats you because of the unholiness of your flesh. But let's say he puts on the helmet of salvation. He begins to pray and his thoughts become more from his spiritual mind. And he tells his natural brain to shut up. That's not from the thoughts of the devil. It's the thoughts the devil uses to put through your natural brain. Puts on righteousness, the belt of truth, and soon the devil's beating him up. Go ahead, devil, beat him up. Boom, boom. Oh, you're getting, yeah. Then he prays. He prays in tongues. And all of a sudden he's getting holier. He's beginning to conquer these things, that these lies of insecurity, these lies of unworthiness. He begins to he's changing. Oh, hey, wait a minute. That's not who I am. Boom, he's taking it. Don't stop. Stand. Keep standing. Keep praying. Keep worshiping. Keep doing these things. And all of a sudden he becomes truthful. I don't need to lie anymore. God loves me. I don't need you to like me. God loves me. All of a sudden, the devil's trying to beat him up, and then all this hand goes up. Wait a minute. You're under my feet. I don't have to put up with you. And now, the devil's scared. Go ahead, beat him up a few times. Chase him away. Thank you, guys. Thank you. You are a child of God. Doesn't matter how ugly your flesh is. Doesn't matter how much it fights you. Doesn't matter your past. It's not you. Your insecurities, your struggles. We struggle with things. We think, oh, I'm just this. No, you're not. You are not your struggles. They are your struggles. You're responsible to defeat them. But they are not you. They don't come from you. They come from your flesh. And one day, in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye, this corruptible flesh will be exchanged for an incorruptible flesh. But until that day, thank God for it, because it's the only thing keeping us here on this earth. But one day, we'll have a new body. But until that day, quit listening to it. Mortify it. Enjoy every day with your Father. You can wake up every day, the moment you're born again, no matter your struggles, and enjoy sweet fellowship with your Father. Because He's the Father of your spirit and not the Father of your flesh. Amen. Amen. Why don't you stand with me?